Welcome, everybody, to the Rebirth podcast. Sorry we didn't have one last week. Took the week off for Thanksgiving. I don't know. We just didn't do it. Deal with it. But we're back this week, and we might be having some more people listening to the podcast as it is discovered that Milkshake Teddy has just now learned that there is a chat in the app. We've been in this app. This is year three now? Is that true?
I don't know. Too long.
Oh, yeah. And as always, I'm joined with Dan Wood. No guests this week because we're doing it pretty late East Coast time. But we'll get right into it so that we're not taking too long. So I think this week we're going to talk more about who's in the playoffs, who's out of the playoffs. So it'll be a power ranking per se, but I don't think that who we put on the top is necessarily the hands-down best team in the league, though Mike made a statement win this week that would make a strong argument for him being that top team.
I mean, that's a lot of points. In a standard league, I mean, that's getting up there.
So he's making a statement for it. So obviously he's in the top tier. Teddy's still in the top tier. I would argue that Don and myself are still in the top tier. Sam's team, I think, will be the first one that we can start talking about. We'll try some random order today, see how that plays out, because I kind of want to just focus on who's in the playoffs, who's out of the playoffs. Teddy has already sealed the deal for a playoff spot. So we're not going to spend too much time on him. I think Hurts and McCaffrey, DJ Moore, now that Justin Fields is back, Jalen Warren, who knows what's going on with him with the new offensive coordinator.
I mean,
Dallas defense.
I think with Jalen Warren, I mean, he at least really any change in offensive coordinator, I think, is a positive for them. And also, like, to see the first game out of the new offensive coordinator of the interim is, you know, with 13 carries is a good sign that, like, he feels the same or better, that it's not back to Najee Harris. Because Najee Harris is playing better than he was, at least. I mean, it was hard to play worse at the beginning of the season, but he's showing signs of life, I guess, recently. Yet they're still giving 13 carries to a rookie is, I think, encouraging going forward for sure.
And the other good news for Teddy going into playoffs, Dallas Goedert is due back this week. So he's going to have a tight end and not be starting Tanner Hudson, who's been in the league for 5 years. And nobody knew his name. What do you think? Do you think he's been on the Cincinnati Bengals for the last 5 years?
I already forgot his name.
This is his sixth year in the league. Tanner Hudson. What team was he drafted to?
Tanner Hudson? I don't know. He sounds like he was drafted to the Chargers.
Ooh, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the point is, nobody knows about him. He's starting for Teddy's team. But we had to give Teddy a shout-out. Number one team, only team that has made it into the playoffs. I don't know what Don's talking about us talking shit about Teddy. It's a great team. He's on the top, earned his way in the playoffs, going to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know if anybody scored the consistency like Teddy has most of the season. They have, you know, a lot of, like, top or top three position players in, like, three positions on their team. I do think this is the clear favorite going into the playoffs, at least.
Sealed it. It's going to be hard for anybody to catch him for a first-round bye. So Teddy's looking in good shape. I guess I did say we were going to talk about Sam, but let's just think about anybody else sealing the deal. I think I could seal the deal with a win this week against Sam, against Tyler Sambino. I'm one win away. All the 7-5 teams could make it with one win, I think. I don't know. I haven't looked at all the head-to-head and what's really going on, but I think Sillman still has a chance.
Not a good chance. Mathematically a chance. I mean, I don't know what getting beat so bad that your name gets changed does to your power ranking. I will get there in a bit, in a while, but yeesh. I don't know. Anyways, that's my comment.
So yeah, I think another team that we won't discuss too much just because they were so dominant this week, Mike's team is going to make the playoffs. If they don't, it would be pretty funny for him being the highest scoring or soon to be the highest scoring team. He's got 40. Corey and Don stand in his way to the playoffs. If they both beat him, there's a chance that he doesn't make it. But I think he will. His team is insane. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, it sounds like he's going to be out for a couple weeks, but we have Zach Moss coming in. So came in strong. He has four startable running backs on the bench and two playing. It's insane.
This is why we were saying, so you remember a couple weeks ago when, I don't know, some other talking head was saying that it was ludicrous to have Mike so high in the rankings when he was, I guess, quote, in jeopardy, missing the playoffs. You know, you're going to have some team at the top of the rankings who's going to miss the playoffs, one game out of the playoffs, whatever. You know, this is why. We you know, you and I have seen this strength, and as you know, learned football analysts can see the potential of a 174 out of a team that's 6-6. Or whatever, you're 6-5 before this, you know, even though the one game over 500, you know, it's a power ranking, not a record ranking. And here we are, you know, they're showing what they can do. And there's, 2 weeks left of the season. And I think if a team can put up these numbers, and they've been putting up these numbers all season, there's no way that they're not going to make the playoffs at this point. I can't imagine it doesn't happen. So, with that in mind, if we're talking about, who's going to make the playoffs and who's not, and, you know, like I said, power ranking versus record ranking, this is clearly one of the most powerful teams in the league. So, yeah. I mean, there's arguments for other people, but I think looking at this roster, it's the strongest roster, second strongest roster other than Teddy's. I think it's the second team.
The only few players that are not in the top 24 in their respective positions are Jonathan Taylor, who missed a shit ton of games, and Devon Achane, who also missed a shit ton of games. And he's 28th in his position, missing 6 games of 6 or of 12. So every single player on his team is either a 1 or a 2 in their respective positions. He has both his defenses are in the top 12.
Yeah. Drop.
So
be a man.
It's insane. His team is stacked. I don't know if he's going to have any issues with buys, but let's move on. He has a stacked team. Him and Teddy stacked. My team, like I said, one more win in the next 2 weeks, I think, would seal the deal for me going in. I have Sam and the Lucky Ducks, which we'll talk about Sam's team going forward, but I am very happy with my pickup from Don's team, who was the number one running back and maybe overall scorer this week in fantasy with 200 all-purpose yards and 2 touchdowns. It's Kyren Williams.
Just saying.
I just wanted to put that out there. But, yeah, my team has gotten rid of Josh Dobbs. I really had faith in him, but, you know, it is what it is. And he really laid an egg.
Womp womp. Yeah, I mean,
that's what I wanted. Now he's off the team.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I think really the only other arguments I could really see with you not being three is maybe Don. But
my hope, and I think it's a strong possibility, is I win the next two games to just keep Mike out of that bye spot, to just give him one more chance to hopefully. If the more games you have to play in the playoffs, the more chances you have to just have an off week. So my hope is to win two more games to hold on to that bye spot. But if I lose one, Mike's taking it.
Yeah, I mean that is huge to get the bye. So yeah, I really think it comes down to I think losing Mark Andrews is huge. Like that's a big blow to a position that does put a lot of points out, you know, past the top three or four. So I mean, you know, he won this week. He didn't put up a ton of points. I don't know what his ceiling is with Mark Andrews hurt. You know, Isaiah Likely is a okay fill-in, but not a starter. So I think I'm okay slotting you in at three at this point.
Don's still holding on Darrell Henderson, who I thought got cut, but maybe still technically on the team. Oh, but he's got the Moose. The Moose is a great tight end fill-in. Yeah, that's a good pickup.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, which is a big deal again with a team with a fairly new, you know, like with a new offensive coordinator, you know, that all of a sudden your tight end blows up in that game. Like, that's a great sign that he's going to be
most targets he had before last week or this week was four. And he was injured for a lot of the season, but he's a great tight end. I wouldn't say he's Mark Andrews quality, but he's a good second place.
I mean, he's a good tight end. I mean, he, you know, even in games he played in, there were some where he didn't get much, you know, much looks. This was his biggest game by far. So it's encouraging.
I think the big question for Don's team is Austin Ekeler. What Austin Ekeler is he going to get for the next 2 weeks into the playoffs? He's just not been the same player he's been in years past.
Yeah, I mean, well, and part of it is that they just have, you know, they have more weapons. They don't have to give him, you know, the rock half the game like they used to. And he's just not, you know, not as explosive, kind of. But, I mean, he's still been fairly reliable up until these last couple weeks when he was healthy. I still think he'll do fine. You know, New England defense I'm not scared of. Denver.
Four of the last seven games he's had under 10. I mean, I guess it is against great defenses, though. Never mind. You're right. I'll go with you. Denver I'd be scared of now.
You think so?
They've
been doing better. I mean, they're not. I don't think they're a good defense. People aren't scoring 70. Like, what's relative, I guess. But
I feel they're pretty good. They've gotten from a team that put up or had 70 points scored against them to the team they are now. Yeah, they're very improved, which is maybe skewing my views on them, but. They're surprisingly strong. But, yeah, I think Ekeler – I also just want to point out that it's very funny that Don is starting Devin Singletary where I'm starting Kyren Williams. And Devin Singletary is my trash and Kyren Williams is trash. Just to point it out. That little fact there. I think Raheem Mostert is an unknown quantity moving forward.
That line or the a playoff winner. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the Dallas defense, the playoff, I guess, or like, I guess make the playoff winner. I am scared of the Jets and Cowboys defense back to back there, but.
And the Ravens. he's done.
But at least, like, I mean, he's at least going to make the playoffs at this point. I mean, he's trending too, and I think Raheem Mostert will be the MVP of the next 2 weeks as he plays some soft defenses with the Commanders and Titans. But, yeah, his production in the playoffs might be questionable. So as long as he has somebody to pivot to, that would be nobody. Well, yeah, I guess he should have a plan for that if he's listening.
Yeah. Meanwhile, let's just take one more look at Kyren Williams' playoff schedule. Also has Baltimore, but then, no, that's the last game of the season. Washington, New Orleans, New York Giants. I'm happy with that for a playoff schedule.
I'll take that. Yeah, those are all pretty solid.
So Don's going to make it. We'll put him in fourth, see kind of what happens there.
I mean, as long as we now, aren't thinking, I mean, around the same record as we're, you know, if we're looking in the vicinity, is Sam, who put up more points than Don this week in a loss. Is there any argument to be made for Sam in four and not Don? Just asking.
No, I think Sam was really, his team was built around Joe Burrow. I mean, that's not entirely true, but it definitely depended on Joe Burrow. Cortland Sutton doing great things.
If your team's built around somebody, Jared Goff is not a bad fallback this season. The fumbling fuckface, Jared Goff.
As it says.
And, I mean, you know, Pacheco had a big game. He's been fairly productive all season, really. He had a couple dips, but, I mean, really, as a Kansas City running back, you can't ask much more.
I was listening to people talk about Pittman. He's been the most consistent player. Oh, I guess they're talking PPR. He hasn't scored under 10 points in PPR.
Well, it's because
he had a lull this season. But
force-fed targets. It's all day long. That's all they throw to. Who's plays on that team?
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill continues Taysom Hill continues to produce for him, even when he like picked him back off waivers, kept on going with him. You know.
Yeah, he picked him up. He dropped him. He picked him up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, he drafted him, dropped him, and then picked him up again. And well, now that the entire receiving core is injured for the Saints, who knows what's going to happen? Taysom Hill's probably going to put up some points,
which he like already is. So like, how much like, you know, what more can you really ask?
I think Don is definitely above Sam. I think the question is Sam or Utah, who's making a late season redemption after his 5-game fall.
Yeah.
I think Utah is a more interesting one.
I mean, yeah, definitely sort of clinging on to that. I still think it's hard. It would be hard to be put for me to put somebody in the top four who took that big of a skid to turn around.
Well, no. Don's number four.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Don's I think number five is Sam or Utah. So essentially, again, we're talking about who's going to make the playoffs. So do we think Sam and Utah are the last two playoff spots? Or do we think that Vegas or Jake or the Lucky Ducks. I would love to see the Lucky Ducks somehow win two more and pass somebody somehow. I don't see it happening. And I play them, so I don't want it to happen.
As far as trending in the right direction, I mean, Utah clearly is happy with the last 2 weeks after that 5-week skid, now with some, you know, pretty big scores, 126 and 141. So, I mean, those were scores that they were not putting up even in their 5-game win streak to start the season. So to be now be able to do that and get off the schneid and hold on to the playoff spot, I mean, it's huge. So, you know, really encouraging game finally from Bijan Robinson, you know, if he can continue, you know, doing that kind of stuff consistently and finally be worth where he got drafted, would be a big deal for them. You know, they play the Jets in New Jersey next week, so we'll see how he does against a pretty stout run defense there. But then gets a pretty soft, I think these days, run defense at Tampa Bay in that, you know, sort of decider game in week 14, if it comes down to it. And then at Carolina and Indianapolis for playoff, first two playoff matchups. So, you know, not a lot of like super stout defenses there. You know, Calvin Ridley having a really nice game, you know, two nice games in a row now, 27-19, after kind of a quiet middle of the season there. But that's really nice. I mean, that's finally what the Jaguars offense should look like, is what they have now been showing these last couple of games.
If they would have been doing that like six games ago, we'd be talking about you on the edge of the playoffs.
Yeah, we would, wouldn't we? Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
Just, I mean, we're going to talk about your team at some point. Thought I'd just throw that in there.
We'll get there sooner rather than later, because let's not bury the lead, because we haven't talked about it yet. I put up 134, which is pretty nice. I mean, that's a good score. I lost.
It's a great score for a 4-8 team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Just saying.
But it's good. That's what I'm saying. If you would have been doing that a while ago,
yeah,
we'd be having a different conversation. So yeah, what I want to just throw out there is an interesting little thing of teams making the playoffs is if Jake is somehow able to pull out, and we'll look at his team right now, if he's able to pull out a win against Don or this week 13, he plays Don, if he's able to pull out a win then, and then Don gets beat by Mike in week 14, then I think Jake makes the playoffs. I don't know how tiebreakers work, but he'd have him beaten head to head, but maybe probably not points. Just saying, that would be fantastic.
It would be quite the feat. It'd be quite the feat to, yeah, have a name changing defeat. And you know, parlay that into making the playoffs 2 weeks later. So we'll see.
But, well, it's tough. It's possible. I think, yeah, this week's going to be very interesting between Jake and Don. If Don wins, he's in the playoffs. If Jake wins, he has a chance to make the playoffs. He needs Don to lose against Mike. But Jake's team, I mean, it's Tua's been great, except against the Jets, and he has Washington, Tennessee, which is a great matchup. ETN has been falling, but he has Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, even though ETN didn't score super high the last 2 weeks, I'm still encouraged that the offense is looking better. Like he'll get his eventually. I'm not super worried about it. You know, the Jaguars, you know, have been looking better. He didn't score any touchdowns. I think with some touchdowns, we wouldn't be talking about it. It's just because he hasn't scored the last couple of weeks that there's a worry. After, you know, he had a 3-week run there where he was scoring 2 touchdowns a game, and that hasn't scored since. So I think he's some scores away from this not being a conversation that he's one of the stronger backs in the league. So he'll get those eventually. I'm not worried about that.
He has Diggs out when he plays Dunn. So he could pull it out. Sleeper has Dunn winning by 0.25 points. So they have it a 50-50 toss-up match. Okay. But that is going to have very significant playoff implications. Because then, yeah, I don't know if we how much we want to get into teams on the outside looking in. Because I don't think...
First of all, who are we slotting at five? Have we decided this yet?
Five, I would say...
It was a Sam Utah situation.
I'm gonna keep it Sam Utah.
You're going to say Sam, even though Utah has put up 126 and 141 in the last 2 weeks and won them both. I'm just saying. There's a case to be made. Josh Allen, if he can play like this with their new offensive coordinator and finally beat the Bills, I mean, that'd be a game changer. Again, Bijan Robinson trending up, Ridley trending up.
I mean, I guess we are talking about who has a better team, which I would agree is Utah.
Like, I think, like, 2 weeks ago they were not. Like, those players weren't playing like that 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, I think...
Yeah, I think you're right. It's got to be Utah and then Sam.
I just think it's a stronger roster than Sam's. I just do. I mean,
Sam's got, tough,
but I think it's more consistent.
Me next week, and Billy Vegas. So yeah, could Billy Vegas punch a ticket in?
5-7. It'd be tough.
Wait, I don't even know what I was talking about with the tie. Yeah, if Jake beats Don and Don loses to Mike, then Jake's in and Don is out. That's just a fact. I was looking at that all wrong. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, that would be...
Jake's destiny is in his own hands, as they say, or fate is in his own hands, which is... I don't know, it's a dumb statement, but... Jake can only ask himself to blame, or his team, or whatever. Anyways, moving on to... So, yeah, do we think that there's any chance? So, mathematically, Billy Vegas still has a chance. We already talked about Jake and Lucky Ducks. Vegas and Lucky Ducks are the last two that have a chance. So, we'll talk about, do you think either of them are going to make it?
Who, Lucky Ducks or?
Billy Vegas. I can tell you one of them will not because they play each other this week.
I think if anybody would, I think it would probably be Vegas. I think if either than that, I mean, who knows what Jamar Chase is going to look like now without
Vegas will be streaming a quarterback this week.
Which I think is much easier to do than a lot of other positions, really. I mean, quarterbacks are going to score something.
Oof. Yeah,
I downloaded this nifty app, by the way, that analyzes leagues and gives, like, odds and stuff and does cool maths.
Okay.
So, Ass has a 49% chance to make the playoffs at this point, 6-6. And everything below that is virtually nothing. Lucky Ducks, 2%. And Billy Vegas at a 0, and 0's on down. So really, at this point in the season, it looks like that if you're not 6-6 or above, it's almost impossible.
Well, yeah. It is, because I would have to know how tiebreakers work, but because Lucky Ducks and Billy Vegas play each other, one of them will knock the other out. And then in week 14, I play the Lucky Ducks and Sam plays Billy Vegas. So,
and Sam at this point,
I think there's a chance.
Sam has a 71% chance to make the playoffs.
What's my percent?
You are at over 99.
Hell yeah.
Potentially locked. Mike at 97. Don at 94, Utah at 89.
Yeah, I think that's only because Don and Mike have to play each other. week 14.
What a showdown.
Okay. Well, so we're not going to talk anymore about Lucky Ducks and Billy Vegas. I think Lucky Ducks, I feel like I've been saying it the whole time. They have a strong team. They just haven't been performing to their potential. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to beat them in week 14, so they will not make the playoffs. And then do we want to talk about – well, here, now's your chance to talk about your team. 130 points, 4-8, eliminated from the playoffs.
Oh,
are you going to win the consolation bracket?
Oh, most assuredly not, no. I mean, my team is not good, don't get me wrong. I mean, this was an aberration that won't repeat itself too often, I don't think. I mean, again, we talked about the Jaguars. They looked good. Trevor Lawrence had what I have to imagine was his best game of the season or close to it. 39. Oh, yeah, sure. Nope, last week was 32. So 32 and 29 back-to-back from Trevor Lawrence is huge. Again, they're looking really good. Chris Olave was looking better before he got his bell rung. Getting 20 from my you know, trade, player Gabe Davis was awesome. So, I mean, it's good numbers to put together. Rashee Rice is not going to get 19 points a game going forward. So, it will not repeat. It was lovely. I don't think I'm this high up in the power rankings still.
I'm to the point where the bottom three don't matter anymore because they're out of the playoffs. Sorry. My question is, are you going to beat Milkshake Teddy this week? And follow up, who are you going to start as your second running back?
Yeah, I don't have a plan for that. As you can clearly tell.
Also a tight end.
I must have just
need one of those.
Well, yeah, half these running backs weren't on my team to start. I must not have paid attention too hard. with Chris Olave in his brain being butter, and my running backs on a bye, I will probably be doing the waiver wire. Well, and let's be honest, I'm gonna forget to put in any claims tonight, and I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and say, yeah, and add a bunch of free agents who are even worse. So
it is. I would argue it's not even worth you putting in a claim because you're gonna get beat by Teddy. You're out of the playoffs. Let that waiver priority bump up if anybody. I don't think anybody will claim anybody tonight. Most teams are pretty set.
Yeah, tight end.
I am
moving on.
But okay, power rankings. So yeah, we have Utah, Sam. I would say Silliman, Vegas. Would I say that?
You putting Silliman.
Sure.
In that same spot, even though he just put up a 73 and got his name changed.
Well, he got his name changed because his opponent put up 170 points.
Hey, listen, you got your name changed. There's the rules. I mean, that's.
Oh no, he deserves to get it changed.
I mean, 73 is also not very good. I would know.
He could have put up 82. 87.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Vegas didn't do much better. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, also, Vegas
and Torrey not
Mike.
Too much far above that. So none of them.
Vegas really would have also gotten doubled up.
Hit it out of the park. I feel like a Torrey truther at this point, but I still think Torrey's a pretty good roster. I think we should also say all-time Joe because I don't know if people who listen, if they listen, know people's team. Anyways, yes,
all-time Joe today.
Has a pretty good roster, except I don't know why you're. I mean, starting in Zeke is desperation. I guess looking at the bench, I don't know what the other option is.
He was desperate. That's why he started.
But yeah, I still think the starters have potential to put up a lot of points. I mean, Sam LaPorta has been crushing it, especially for where he's drafted. You know, Antonio, or I said that last week, AJ Brown, you know, kind of had a quiet last couple of weeks, but still can put up, you know, 20, 25 at the drop of a hat. Brock Purdy also had a down week, but I think that's more of an aberration. At Philly, this week will be an interesting game to see what Brock Purdy can do, but I think in general he's been pretty good fantasy-wise. So Torrey's got a decent roster that can win games.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think if Torrey had Justin Herbert and...
I can't.
What?
I take it all back. He's 3-9. He's at the bottom of the rankings. You can't... Yeah. He has a good roster.
Let me just
win games. I take it all back. Everything I just said.
Let me throw out a hypothetical, because I'm curious of your thoughts of if he had, let's say, Justin Herbert and Christian Kirk or Zay Flowers instead of A.J. Brown and Brock Purdy on his team. Do you think he'd be sitting at 3-9, or do you think he'd be knocking on the door of the playoffs?
I think he'd be sitting at 3-9. Okay. I still think the two you named are the better players. I mean, the two you named are in putting up points. It's the rest of the team that's the problem. Like, those are the ones that have been producing. I mean, you look at the
points. I think it's quarterback's the problem.
They're not just on name.
Oh, that's not true. Brock Purdy's been killing it. Okay, you're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how to make good trades.
I mean, unless he hasn't been started the whole time, he's also has Sam Howell on the bench. He also has been putting up points all season. So I guess not just name, but like positional wise, quarterback seems to not be a problem here.
That's fair.
I do think clearly, running backs are an issue. Devontae Adams has not been reliable. I mean, he's that guy you got to play every week because he's Devontae Adams. But, you know, he had some real bad games there, you know, in the middle of the season when he was, you know, bitching, wanting to get traded or whatever. So, you know, that's...
I don't think you ever said that.
Devontae Adams? Or maybe people were speculating. There was speculation he was going to get moved.
I think they're speculating. He's like, the people here are cool. The coach sucks. And then the coach got fired. And now he's like, all right, let's rock.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there are points that are question marks. But I think overall... Again, it's Brock that can't win games. But yeah, Brock Purdy really hasn't been a problem if he's been playing. I had to look back at the season and see who he's been starting most weeks, but really both of those quarterbacks have been fine. So no issues there.
Okay, so said,
he's 3-9. I can't reckon this high. So for this next slot, I do think it's...
I want to say Ducks.
I think it's the Ducks.
Well, yeah, for this slot, I think it's Sillman here, Vegas here, Ducks here, Sharks, you, Torrey.
So Vegas after Sam.
No, Sillman after Sam.
Sillman after Sam. Okay. I'm just saying. He got doubled up.
Vegas would have got doubled up if he played Mike.
Yeah, if he
played Mike, sorry, yes, and only got 123 points.
If my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bicycle. Anyways.
What's that for?
I don't know. Things, stuff. Anyways, I do think that I mean, Vegas has put up numbers through weeks, even in losses, you know, even though the record's not ideal. Barring the playoffs.
In the end, I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. Put whoever you want. Week 13, we're going to figure it out when they play each other. Oh, no, they don't play each other until week 14. Do they? Why am I imagining that? Never mind.
Oops. Sam in Vegas for week 14. Lucky Ducks in Vegas for week 13. Is that what you're talking about for this spot?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they played this week, so we'll see how that goes down. I mean, it's hard to judge, you know, Vegas with Lamar Jackson on a bye. and nobody to bring in, so they're going to have to go, yeah, find somebody.
All right, so we'll go Vegas, Silliman, and then I would say the Ducks. They got a good team. They just have not been – luck has not been on their side. They're staging to come back. They have a under 10% chance of making the playoffs. So I'd say Ducks. We can put you up here because you put up 100 and whatever points.
I mean, does 1 week really make it? Do I think I'm better than Torrey? I guess my record says
Torrey's garbage.
Better. I'll take it. Screw it. Torrey's... Also, you know, like you said, it's the last three spots. None of us making the playoffs.
That's when I, yeah. And where are the Sharks at? Yeah, the Sharks are garbage too.
Yeah.
Torrey can be at the bottom for his. Yeah, this is what the bottom is. So we have our power rankings set. Next week, the matchup of the week is
Sharks. I'm gonna say, Sharks is a good roster. Hold on, back up. We didn't even talk about Sharks. How is this a 4-8 team? Dak Prescott.
Cooper Kupp's been injured. Dak Prescott sucked for the first six games. Not sucked, but was
bad. Fantasy wise, he never did. He didn't.
He had one game 4.82, one game 7.32. The other game's mediocre.
Travis Kelce, I guess, you know, missed. I don't know. Pretty good roster for being 4-8. And then Geno Smith. Geno Smith's been okay too. Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's a better team than mine. It's a better team than mine. It's a better team than mine. There's no way I'm 10th. I'm switching that.
The Zuka Sharks lost the first four games of the season. They didn't score 100 points until week 5. And where they beat Don, Mike, and Silliman. And then went on a 3-game losing streak. The Sharks have scored over 100 points one time. Two times.
Okay, well,
that's why they're not.
If you insist. Harsh. If you insist. I'm in my argument, America.
Well, let's see. How many times have you scored over 100?
Not often.
Three times. So you got to beat. Ooh, but your lowest score is 68.
Yeah, that was a rough week. That one hurt.
His lowest score. I mean, he put up a 75 this week.
Yeah, it's hard to score lower than that.
68 and a 70. Yeah. Okay.
They're low. We don't. Parse the details.
It's 3 games under 80. I would still say you're above Sharks for this week. You can prove us all wrong next week when you don't start a running back or a tight end.
Something like that. I'm going to have to bite the bullet on something.
You play Teddy, so congratulations, Teddy. You'll get your 10th win.
Yeah, so speaking of next week, my game is...
Ooh, you play the Sharks week 14. Game of the week, week 14. Common Cold versus Bazooka Sharks.
The Potty Bowl.
Both probably 4-9 going in.
Bring it. Right.
But yeah, next week, game of the week. I mean, Sam and my game will be hopefully high scoring, hopefully exciting. But I think the one that I'm most excited about is the Don and Torrey game, or Don and Jake game, to see if Jake can make that final push for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, this is essentially, I'm sure, what has to be close to a must win for Jake. You know, especially the
battle. I'd argue it's a must win for Don, too.
I don't I mean, it's numbers wise, not necessarily a must win for Don. It'd be secure a playoff spot. But I mean, I think for Silliman, it's win or go home. I mean, that's probably just it in a nutshell.
No, that's a fact. If Silliman loses, he's done.
And it's a tough try to
unless
try to get it done
any
again.
Of the seven. Yeah.
Possibly, and possibly
any of the seven or five teams would have to lose.
Possibly the same as Sam. I mean, really, you know, Sam's only sitting at a 71% chance to make the playoffs with a tough draw to try to solidify that. I mean, a loss is going to hurt that number a ton. And again, draws a, you know, top three team in the league. So, you know, that's also a tough matchup coming down the stretch to try to secure one of those last spots.
Yeah, because if Vegas beats Lucky Ducks and beats Sam, he could potentially snake that. Well, and if I beat Sam, there's still a lot. It's a close matchup. It's a close end of season. You like to see it, aside from the one on top and three down below. But this week,
I'm throwing shade at Teddy.
What? I wasn't throwing shade at Teddy. I said the one on top. He's one on top. Okay. I would never throw shade on Teddy. Just don't listen to the previous tapes.
I was going to say.
And we're moving forward. But he doesn't have time to go back and listen to those. Teddy, all I've done is speak highly of your team. Number one in the league, only one who sealed the bye week. Well, I guess, have you sealed a bye week? No, technically I can take it, but I would need the Comic Cold to beat Milkshake Teddy, which I would say is not going to happen.
Yeah, I can't do the playoff math, but I know that, you know, they're 9-3, best record in the league by themselves, averaging 123 points a game. That's not too shabby.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Next week, we've talked about the game of the week. I'm excited for it. It is a bye-mageddon, as all the talking heads say. There's six teams on bye. Seems like it affects your team the most.
It's also irrelevant.
Yeah, which is great for everybody else in the league. And it's lucky that you're not on the outside looking in. Because if you were on the edge, this bye week would have sealed your fate.
Yes, but if I was Silliman's roster, I'd be in big trouble.
Otherwise, that is all I have for this week. Any other closing thoughts, Dylan?
Listen, I'm just trying to build on this into next season, possibly win the consolation bracket and, you know, go from there. So it was an encouraging week for me. I think it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out over the next 2 weeks. I think next week is really going to clarify how wrong we really are.
Which I would argue is not wrong at all. I think we nailed it. But we'll find out here next week. For Dan Wood, I'm Steve Gang, and we'll talk to you next week.